You're listening to the Flasco Oncopod, brought to you by the Florida Society of Clinical Oncology, the voice of oncology in Florida.
Okay, hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new edition of the Flasco Oncopod, okay, where we try to bring you a little bit of snippets or updates on the best practices of oncology and hematology oncology. Not only in Florida, but probably around the United States and some other parts of our globe. So today, I'm very happy to be joined by my friend and colleague, Dr. Ariel Perez, and he can introduce himself. But first of all, my name is Jose Sandoval Sus. I'm a hematology oncologist and associate member at Moffitt Cancer Center, but working in South Florida in Memorial Healthcare System. I'm in the Department of Malignant Hematology and Cellular Therapy, and I mostly see patients with lymphoid disorders and taking care of the part of CAR T-cell therapy here.
Thank you, Jose, for the kind introduction. I'm Dr. Ariel Perez. I'm the Medical Director of Cellular Therapy at Baptist Health South Florida, which is part of the Miami Cancer Institute. My practice as well is mostly and high-grade lymphomas and any form of cell therapy as treatment modality and advanced immunotherapy.
Excellent, Dr. Perez. Very timely podcast indeed, you know, because we're going to talk in a sort of like a very hot topic. I would say not only in the malignant hematology area, specifically in the we're going to focus on lymphomas, that is our strength here, right? But it's also... it's something that started in lymphomas, right? But it has expanded to other fields, not only multiple myeloma, but now solid tumors like lung cancer, breast cancer, and I'm sure it's gonna continue to grow. This is the new therapeutic developments, or you know, not it's fairly new, not new, but an advance that is called bispecific antibodies. And in today's Oncopod episode, we're going to talk specifically about the role of bispecific antibodies in lymphoma, but in our community, specifically for our colleagues that work in the community and take care of our patients with cancer in the community, that, as we know of, is more than 75 to 80% of the patients in the United States are taking care of our colleagues in the community. So we need to know that this type of therapy is going to expand in all realms of oncology, and that we need to be ready for them. And we need, as folks who have a little bit more experience, both in the academia and in our world, that are we are between the academia and the community, we have a little bit more experience than our colleagues out there. And we are here and welcome to help from the Flasco, directly from Flasco to our members of Flasco in Florida. So we thought with Dr. Perez and with our co-authors of a consensus that we really more like a white paper to help guide our colleagues in the community why it was important to do this, right? And I think this effort was important because we need to advance access in a safe manner. So the effective therapies in oncology are as much as we can equal for all of our patients. So our patients in the state of Florida, hopefully around the country, they don't have to go into extents to go only to very specialized institutions to get the best treatment needed, right? And it's very important because we have seen in the past, I would say in the past 5 years or so, ongoing rise of these molecules, of bispecific antibodies. And they have really been transformative for the therapy in large B-cell lymphoma, follicular lymphoma. In a short time soon, it will also be available for mantle cell lymphoma, but also in some other areas that like multiple myeloma and some solid tumors. So that was the reason we wanted to do this white paper as a consensus with multiple stakeholders and collaborators that help us to develop this. Now, the challenge of like any other therapy in oncology is to try to ensure that community oncologists can use these treatments appropriately, right? Not only to use it at the right time for the right indication, but also to use it in a safe way to improve access in a for minorities and some other communities like rural communities that usually they don't have the benefit to go to big academic centers, right? And to do it across the state of Florida, right? Anywhere from South, Central, North Florida, and so forth. So that was the main, the core of this white paper. So going to another, to the core findings of what we learned when we put out this information. So Dr. Perez, what would you say that are the main clinical benefits of these molecules, of these bispecific antibodies? So first of all, what are they? And what is their, what have been the, the efficacy that we know up until now in the realm of B-cell lymphomas?
So there are multiple bispecific antibodies targeting CD20 in patients with B-cell lymphomas. And in terms of their clinical benefit, I think these products first are off the shelves, and they are T-cell redirected agents that have shown in patients that have multiple prior lines of therapy. Usually the approval for these agents are after two or more prior lines of therapy. So these are patients with multiple relapse disease, or they may be refractory to their last line of therapy, which was an area of high need for patients with B-cell malignancies. So, for example, if we go to epcoritamab, that agent has an objective response rate of 63% with a CR rate of 39%. Glofitamab is another CD20 bispecific that's been approved in large B-cell lymphoma. And the objective response rate there was 52% with a CR rate of 39%. And in general, I would say when I talk to patients in clinic, I'm like, these agents can lead to reduction in the size of the tumor or complete disappearance of the tumor in approximately 60% of patients. And these patients that achieve a complete disappearance of the tumor or a complete remission, which is 40% roughly for each of these products, the other important finding is that the duration of that response is sustainable. So it's a very, in some of the studies, the duration of response have not been reached at a follow-up that has been in excess of 1 year. So it's not only that these are medicines or agents that can, engage your immune system and achieve objective responses, those responses can remain. In terms of duration of treatment, in some agents, the treatment is done for a limited duration, for example, 9 months. In other agents, it can be done until disease progression or toxicity as a barrier to continuing treatment indefinitely. In follicular lymphoma, the first approved bispecific antibody is mosunetuzumab, and the response rates were actually very high, around 80%, with 60% of patients achieving CR rate. Then epcoritamab also showed data in follicular lymphoma with comparable results. It's important to note that in agents in large B-cell lymphoma, sometimes the patients need to be admitted at the time of higher risk of cytokine release syndrome, and that depends on the product, but it's usually a 24-hour observation admission. Epcoritamab, when it's being used for follicular lymphoma, the schedule was modified in a way that the ramp-up is done, let's say, with an additional dose or in a slower manner, so patients don't need to be admitted if the indication for using epcoritamab is follicular lymphoma. The advantage of these treatments, like Dr. Sandoval mentioned, is that they're off the shelf, so they are readily available. So compared to CAR T-cell therapy, which is usually done in the context of a cellular therapy program, these bispecific agents are more amenable to be used in the community setting, but at the same time, we have to be very conscious of the safety concerns with these medications and how should we manage the toxicity. So Dr. Sandoval will talk a little bit more about safety and toxicity management for patients with receiving bispecific antibodies.
Well, thank you, Ariel. No, you're totally right. I mean, we do have a lot of good evidence of the effectiveness and the power potentially and the curative potential indeed of CAR T-cell therapy, right? But and we are our patients have the benefit and the blessed of of living in Florida, where we have a lot of certified centers that are doing a really good job with cellular therapy, right? But again, we see over and over that patients still have a lot of issues accessing these CAR T cell therapies, right? So I do think, like you were saying, that these give us bispecific antibodies, if we're going to expand it to use it in the community, you know, it's going to give it, I do think it's going to give a wider access to these T cell engaging therapies and potentially curative therapies, especially at the time that you're going to see, we're going to talk a little bit about that later when we're going to combine them with other oncologic regimens, right? That is the sort of like that is the mantra of medical oncology, right? Combination is better, although it can be more toxic, right? Now, so the main safety issues that we need to be into account is for what Ariel was telling us, cytokine release syndrome, right? That it looks mainly like a very bad flu, right? But again, we see this in CAR T cells, but with by specific antibodies targeting CD20 and CD3, they're much more subtle, right? So usually are what we call grade one or grade two is usually just a very high fever or some variations in the blood pressure. Very well managed, yes, with short courses of steroids. And sometimes we need to use an antibody called tocilizumab, right? And one of the things that we emphasize on our white paper is that if we're going to use this on the community setting, we need to make sure to be, you know, that our colleagues in the community have their reference hospital for patient admission. They have at least two doses of tocilizumab ready for the administration of those in these patients just in case. Now, the other safety issue and important for toxicity management is neurotoxicity. I like to call it neurotoxicity, but the other official name is called ICANS that was created for the T cell effector therapies like CAR T cell therapy. Now, I like to call it just neurotoxicity because it's really mild with bispecific antibodies. Almost all of them are grade one and it's mostly headaches, but we need to be ready to identify them, given the appropriate grading and the appropriate management, which is very well described on our white paper. I think one of the most important side effects that we need to be aware of and we need to identify, to grade, and to treat are infections. And we need to know that this can become very frequent, especially the longer we go with these bispecific antibodies. We need to be aware that we need to screen at baseline for chronic viral infections, especially hepatitis B. And give the appropriate prophylaxis if it's positive. Now we also need to use appropriate varicella zoster virus, herpes simplex virus prophylaxis, either acyclovir or other similar agents. And we also tend to recommend pneumocystic urevasive prophylaxis, either with trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole, tobacco, or others. Now the intravenous immunoglobulin. We are using it for selected patients with large B-cell lymphomas, excuse me, treated with these agents. Now, in other scenarios, like for example, multiple myeloma, we're usually sort of like using it in almost every single patient. Now, that being said, there's other considerations like low blood count, cytopenias that we're hematologists, oncologists are very used to treat. Some other weird ones that we mentioned on our paper, like tumor flares, but also very, very, very important to work in multidisciplinary teams that identify and treat these complications and toxicities earlier for the patient on benefit, right? Now, important, Dr. Perez, Ariel, what are the operational recommendations maybe to expand this on the community?
So I think for centers looking to implement bispecific antibodies, the first step is recognizing that this is a multidisciplinary effort. This is not just physicians or just, you know, advanced practice providers. This is a collaboration with pharmacists, with nurses, with you have to take into consideration financial aspects. You have to take into consideration administrative, you know, issues that may arise. You need to actually partner, depend, if you are, you know, if you are a community practice and you are associated or affiliated with a community hospital, then you need to create a partnership with that hospital. You need to include in your education everybody. It's not just that the community hematologist or oncologist is able and capable of taking care of these patients and managing the toxicities. Remember, like you mentioned, CRS, is essentially sometimes in the manifestations very similar to infection. So patient presents to an emergency department with fever or with low blood pressure. The initial thought is always going to be, okay, this is an infection. I need to start antibiotics. I need to work them up for infection, which is a common complication, but at the same time, you have to be make sure that we treat these patients appropriately for CRS. So the other key point in terms of operationalizing this type of medications is like we need to educate the patients and the caregiver. They need to have a wallet card saying that they are a bispecific recipient. If there is possible to have an alert in the electronic medical record that this patient is at risk for CRS and neurotoxicity, then that's also extremely important. And we need to give patients 24/7 access to this to a triage line or access to their providers on a 24/7, a number that they can call and they can get specific directions for management. And then our pharmacy team in each institution is essential because they can, help you undergo all these implementation details to make sure that we are administering these T-cell engagers in a safe manner. So Jose, what do you think what the future looks like for these therapies? Combination, single agent, what do you think?
Well, Ariel, the future to me looks very bright. I don't know what you think. I mean, I think it's a privilege, taking care of patients with B-cell malignancies and other malignant hematological disorders, right, nowadays, but specifically, lymphomas, leukemias, multiple myeloma, and so forth. Now, the future is very bright because these agents are very dynamic and I will say very versatile in the ways that we can combine it to with other molecules. Why? Because they don't seem to have overlapping toxicity, aside from low blood counts, they don't seem to have many overlapping toxicities with other of our very effective regimens that we already have. Here today, we're talking about B-cell lymphomas. Now, as an example, there's already a lot of efforts and of combining these bispecific antibodies with chemoimmunotherapy regimens. I can tell you that, for example, there has been a combination that has already been published on a phase three trial that improved not overall, not only what we call the response rates of the patients, improved the complete responses, and also it did improve how long the patients are living without the cancer coming back. We also call that progression-free survival, but it also improved how much patients are living, the overall survival of patients compared to a classic chemoimmunotherapy regimen. That is the combination of, for example, glofitamab with GemOx on the study STARGLO. Now, it is available also in the NCCN guidelines. And not only Darwin, in the summer conferences, it was all full of bispecific lymphomas, phase three trials for B-cell lymphomas. There's another combination of antibody drug conjugate called polatuzumab with mosunetuzumab that actually is showing really good results as well in a phase three randomized controlled trial. And even combinations with only the bispecific antibodies and with the antibody drug conjugates like locustuximab tesirine. Now, also, there's combinations with other agents that enhances our immune system, like our immunomodulatory agents like lenalidomide and so forth and so on. Now, so the future is really bright. Now, that is in the academical part that is coming to our communities, to our daily practice. Now, from our white paper, I think that also the future is bright because I do think this empowers us. It creates sort of like a platform in the community of Florida, of the Florida hematology oncologist specialists, in general caretakers, to do maybe community data collection, right? And learn from these experiences as we're using more and more these agents on our Florida community, right? Know about the real world challenges. Affecting the challenges and opportunities to improve through a collection of real high quality, real world evidence that is critical to improve the care of our patients. Finally, I do think that this is one of the core sort of like goals of our white paper is to increase the access and equity of these bispecific antibodies in the community. Starting from B-cell lymphomas that there were original approvals, now multiple myeloma and other solid cancers and so forth. And this is very dear and near to both of our heart, right? Because we like to work in with a Flasco and other societies and other organizations to improve the access in patients that live in rural communities, minorities, and underserved patients in Florida. Now, Ariel, and more like a conversation, when we were doing this paper, we were developing to all of our co-authors. What do you really think it matters? And reflecting on the values of Flasco and so forth, what do you think it really matters for our patients, this
Well,
white paper?
I think that like you mentioned, most patients are treated in the community, and we have to break that barrier that T cell engagers or bispecific antibodies should only be limited to academic centers. So I think our paper and plenty of other reported data shows that with preparation, with protocols in place, community practices can safely deliver these therapies. I think it's very important to give our patients what's available. So where you live or how far you are from a larger center should not like dictate the therapy you receive for your lymphoma. You shouldn't be getting suboptimal therapies just because of your location or where you are or your socioeconomic status or any of the other barriers that makes sometimes difficult for patients to access newer generation immunotherapeutics. I think that this is a very good start for people to get engaged. I hope Dr. Sandoval and myself have convinced you how important this topic is and encourage you to read the full paper for detailed management tables, workflows. The paper is available at flasco.org. And we encourage all community oncologists to download CRS and ICANS grading tools, develop their own institutional SOPs. We'll be happy to help. Flasco can also help you connect with centers that are already doing this, and we can create partnerships to help community oncology practice launch this therapy. So the idea is to for you to take these recommendations back to your practices. To help implement bispecific antibodies safely across Florida and making sure patients don't have to travel an hour and a half or 2 hours to get treated with a bispecific antibody. Dr. Sandoval and I would also like to thank all the co-authors for this on this paper. It was a big effort, multiple physicians, pharmacists, Flasco members. We also have to say thank you to Julie Niveri and the rest of the Flasco team. And we want to thank all the listeners for your time during this podcast.
Thank you very much, everybody. Hope to see you in the Flasco Fall meeting. And I hope that you guys tell us and give us feedback our white paper that is all made for you, working for you and for the community. And thank you, Uncle Pod, for having us today talking about bispecific antibodies and lymphoma and then the efforts that Flasco is doing for all their members in their community. Thank you very much.
Thank you.